Hi everybody, I'm Maya.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Olivia.
And we're here to take you back to
your twilight days.
That one felt bad.
Yeah, that did feel bad. But that's okay.
What's happening?
Not a lot.
Listeners, if only you knew how good the gossip we just shared before.
You always tease the listeners with the gossip that they don't get to know.
That's okay. Rude. They've gossip in like, their lives that we don't get to know.
They wouldn't appreciate the gossip.
No, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't know
that it exists.
But you don't have to tell them what they're missing out on.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun.
I agree.
I think, honestly, we start, and I'm never sure what to say, so I tell them, we just had a really good conversation.
We just had a really good conversation without you.
Sorry, listeners. Wow. Love you.
Well, I'm recording this week from my childhood bedroom at my parents' house.
The map room.
Yeah, it's been redesigned and renamed the map room. I was showing them the myriad maps that are now in this room.
I used to say that word was myrad.
What?
Ooh. One of those
like,
words
you had only myriad.
Yeah, it was one of those words that I never heard spoken.
This is a great aside. Do you have any other ones of those?
Yes. I also had naive, which I said was knave.
Knave, very paradigm.
Instead of paradigm.
Paradigm, very reasonable. Paradigm. Mine was prejudice.
Ooh, prejudice.
Prejudice.
Hermione.
Like, I may have made it all the way through Pride and Prejudice.
Prejudice. I did say Carlisle.
Oh, yeah, Carlisle, for sure.
For sure. Both. I do remember the time that I got naive corrected to me was very embarrassing because I was in, like, an argument with my mom, and like we were kind of yelling, and I don't know why I was saying this, but I was like, God, mom, you're so naive. And she's like, you mean naive?
And, like, and even if you were totally that's really
worst case
your
scenario
point.
Yeah, of finding
not
that
underscores
out.
Your point the other one
the other way. Yeah, I was like, God damn it. You know, and then you stomp away.
Yeah, that's the only option for you. Okay, wait, but I wanted to say that I was in this bedroom reading Twilight last night, and a memory came back to me of reading Twilight. Okay, I was trying to figure out, I think the first time I read it, I must have borrowed somebody's copy, because I have a memory not of that, but of borrowing this other girl, Monica's copy, in order to reread Twilight.
Wow.
And she kept it, like, wrapped up in a little, like, I don't know, like a handkerchief blanket situation. Uh-huh. And I was, like, strictly instructed to, like, baby the book at all times. And so every night when I put it back down, I had to like wrap it up in its little nest.
It was really sweet of her to let you borrow a book that was,
I mean,
like,
it was
sacred to her.
That was clearly
it was
her
very
child.
I was very honored to even receive
and you're
it
just
she was
reading
a,
it
she was a horseback riding friend
horse girls stick together, you know.
Monica, yeah.
Hey, thanks Monica.
Anyways, that was my like very random niche Twilight memory that came back to me.
I was just going to update the listeners that this past weekend I read Bride, which is the new Allie Hazelwood adult book that is sexy. That's the disclaimer right now, listeners. It's not yet adult.
Content warning.
Content warning. It is a sexy book.
Spicy. Spicy book.
Yes. And normally Allie Hazelwood writes all these like STEM romances, and I'm not gonna lie, I only read one of them, but this
they're
one,
all the same.
Yeah.
Said with love, they're all the same.
Exactly. But this one is about a vampire and a werewolf, and I was like, obviously I'm reading that.
I didn't know it had a vampire. I thought it was just werewolves.
No,
I
the girl's
it was
a vampire.
Just vampires.
The girl's a vampire, boy's a werewolf. And they're in love. Can you imagine?
I can.
Anyway, yes. I read this
book. I have a good imagination.
I read this book, and one, I read it in, like,
a day, and I stayed up until 2 a.m. to finish reading it. And I obviously have a lot of notes, but clearly it was propelling enough that I was just like, I'm here. I'm here for the ride. Let's go.
The yearning is off the charts, y'all, and that's what I'm
I love to yearn.
The yearning!
I yearn to yearn.
But also, it was totally obvious that Allie Hazelwood was like, I know that I'm gonna be compared to Twilight, and I'm gonna do some stuff about Twilight that should have been done, okay?
She was like, I'm gonna write some wrongs.
Yes, exactly. I'm gonna write some wrongs. We're gonna set the narrative straight. And also, because Allie Hazelwood is such a science girly, she attempts to make werewolves and vampires make sense biologically, which
does
I
she succeed?
Appreciate. Mostly, yes. I think she does.
Wow. Can you tell us anything? Or well, do you feel like that would be too spoilery?
No,
which I don't care about, but the listeners might.
No, I can tell some things. Like, you know, vampires... For the main difference between lore and her stuff is that, like, vampires are born. Like, they're not created from a previously alive person who died. But essentially, they have death-like qualities in that their heart beats super slow, their body temperature is really low, and they are nocturnal. Like, they're very sensitive to sunlight. Like, it doesn't necessarily set them on fire, but it burns them. Like, they get like sunburns,
it's like
essentially.
Instant sunburn. Oh,
like yeah, they get and stuff.
Yeah, they that get really sense. Bad sunburn. And, like, you know, eventually, if you get bad enough sunburn, you're gonna just, like, fall unconscious and, like, die from that.
Yeah,
So it was really interesting to see, like, how she spun all the regular vampire stuff, but also kept it kind of making sense. It was cool. And also sexy. There were a lot of sexy bits. And, okay, content warning, there was a sexy bit that I had no previous experience with, and I would... say that I am
Olivia's
well-versed.
Face right now is so funny.
I'm well-versed.
Do you mean like in your real life experience or like
no like
no literary
in my,
knowledge
in my
brain
experience of being subject to media?
Gotcha.
I had not happened across this particular.
Is this an Omegaverse book?
Yeah, it is.
Wait, okay, you guys can explain it to me, because I've heard that term, and I know
to
that it's like a kooky romance novel.
I don't even know if we can explain it.
I've Googled this extensively, okay?
Is our podcast, do we need to add an extra content warning on this podcast?
No, I'm not gonna, okay, so essentially Omegaverse is very, like, all the things I've seen are, if you were on Tumblr in 2015, you should probably know what this is. But I was on Tumblr in 2015, and I
didn't
know
what this was. It was very, it was like Teen Wolf is a yes, lot of
yes,
this, right?
Of the Teen Wolf, people who can shift into animals, and, like, they also have some of that animal biology.
But also, it's like a bunch of fake animal biology.
Right, well, yeah, because no one's part snake or whatever.
Well, sure.
So, in this book... as a werewolf, he has particular canine traits that he also has in his human form and during sex.
But, like, what kind of canine traits?
Sex
like
ones,
a good
Maya.
Sense of smell?
Sex ones.
I just feel like it's not making sense to me
yet.
I don't get it yet.
I don't want... if you're going to read it, I don't want to rob you of the...
Do I need to be emotionally prepared?
For the sex thing? No.
Okay.
No. I just didn't understand what was happening literally on the page.
Is it, what? Is it nodding?
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean nodding?
Like, just Google
with
it.
Your head?
No,
nodding.
Don't Google it. Maya, if you don't want visuals, which I don't think you do.
You know, like you tie a knot.
Yeah.
See, that I think is fake animal biology. Listen, we've said a lot of...
Yeah, dogs can't tie knots.
No, that's
thumbs.
Not... No, that's not what it's about,
listen,
Maya. That's not...
Listen.
That's not...
This is exactly...
exactly what happened to me when I was reading the book.
We've talked about a lot of explicit things in this podcast, but I think nodding might be, it might be the line. It might be my line in the sand. I don't know if I can describe on our podcast.
I'm gonna Google it.
Yeah, we're not. Don't describe it on the podcast because I also
if
don't
you're under
rob.
18, do not Google that. Okay.
I also don't. Right. One, this is a very sexually explicit book, but also I think it was part of the experience to read something and be like, what is happening?
So just for the record, I'm pretty sure this is fake animal biology that isn't real. Okay, Maya has Googled it. Listeners, Maya has Googled it. Her face is scrunching up. She's shaking her head.
This has got to be fake, right?
Oh, she's squinting.
I think it is.
I don't think it's real animal biology.
I don't think it's real animal biology, but it is something that has
become... But it's been co-opted. It came through the fake wolf lore into
a fiction.
Shapeshifter fanfic.
Yes. I did not want to Google it to see if it was real because I didn't want
the Omegaverse.
Possibly real biology to get it mixed into it. And I was like, that's my line, is when it's real. So I didn't Google that.
Real just for the animals or like?
Well, yeah, because I was like, if it is based off biology, I don't want to see that biology.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Exactly. So I didn't Google if it was real.
It just doesn't sound real to me.
I'm impressed that's by Allie Hazelwood bringing the Omegaverse to the mainstream book market. What a move.
Yes. So, from all of my research that I've done, because I really was lost, y'all, essentially, this is, this act in Omegaverse has been prolific on things like Wattpad and apparently also Kindle Unlimited, which I newly learned is,
Maya's raising her hand.
Yes, Maya.
Yes, Maya.
Melissa, are you now into it?
I don't know yet.
I respect that answer so much.
Yeah, me too.
But see, the thing is I was very into their romance, and I was very into the yearning, and so, I'm like...
That's how they get you.
I know, I was like, fuck, it took me a while to wrap my brain around it, and then I had to reread it to make sure I got it.
What's happening? Then you had to do your research.
Yeah. Now I'm in the part where I have to separate my feelings based on, the romance.
Yeah, that way you can write your thesis.
Exactly. So I haven't gotten past that yet.
I think we're probably going to need to do an episode on this.
I think, must do an episode. Book. There were so many Twilight-related things.
I'm on board.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes.
I will emotionally prepare myself for
talking
about
an Omegaverse book again. I'm so fine with reading this book again.
On our podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the spicy stuff we'll talk about in detail.
We can really, yeah.
But there's so much vampire werewolf stuff to talk about.
Because I'm too prudish.
But there's so much vampire and werewolf stuff.
And we've said the word sperm on this podcast so many times too.
We really have. Listen, we've talked about penises. We just haven't talked about this kind of penis before.
You're right, Melissa. We need to talk about Twilight.
Yeah, we do. We have to talk about Twilight.
That's true.
Who started
this? Was
it?
A boring.
I think
chapter.
It's Olivia's.
No,
or
I did last.
I think it's.
Oh, okay. It's Melissa.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm at my parents' house, and my mother was like, isn't it your turn to recap this week? And I was like, no, mother, you must have missed last week's episode.
Wow,
I
does
did,
she
because I crushed it last week.
By the way, that's listeners, Olivia's mom definitely loves her so much. She's a wonderful lady, and I love her.
We skimmed right past
Carse,
that. Mrs.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for the... ornaments that you
the
made
ornaments,
us.
Yeah.
I still love mine.
She made
Thank
us
you for listening and supporting.
Ornaments.
You're great.
My mom last week when I mentioned the podcast was like, "Oh, you're still doing this?"
Yeah, you
and
said.
And I was like, "Yes, mom, I am." And she's like, "Haven't you said everything there is to say?"
And I was like, "One would think.
One would think." Anyway,
all right.
So chapter 15, the Cullens. The beginning of this chapter is the only part I like, which is essentially Bella has woken up. Is bamboozled by the memory that Edward is there, and he is there, sitting there in his little rocking chair.
Positively bamboozled.
Positively bamboozled. and she's like, oh my god, Edward Newstead. And then she like runs over there and sits in his lap and is like, oh my god, was that the wrong thing to do? But it's so fucking cute. And Edward's fine. He doesn't like freak out and whatever. She takes a human minute. She comes back, sits more in Edward's lap. Still super cute. They try to figure out what they do for the day. Oh, wait. Bella had a dream in which she said, I loved you. And this was the first time that she says it to him.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I kind of feel like it shouldn't count.
But we can get back to that. Anyway, they try to figure out what they're doing for the day. So they go down to the kitchen so Bella can eat breakfast. And Bella's in a great mood. And Edward's in a great mood. And they're both just, like, really joking with each other. Really joshing around. and Edward is like, what if you come meet my family? And, of course, Bella gets super anxious, as it makes sense, because Edward's beautiful family, we already know, has a lot of opinions about her. And she's like, oh my god, they're gonna hate me. And Edward's like, oh, you're not worried that they're gonna eat you? And she's like, no, eat it. anyway, so this is where she gets into her khaki colored skirt and her blue blouse and is just positively indecent. And also where Edward kisses her and she faints. I think this is kiss number two, direct kiss on the lips number two.
Yeah,
and so. He does make the iconic line, yesterday I kiss you and you attack me, today you pass out on me. And poor, poor Bella is just like, I think I forgot to breathe.
That's a really good line read on that.
Oh, well, thank you.
That was really good.
And so they get in Bella's truck, Edward's driving, they reach the Cullen's house. It is described to us in still a way that I can't really picture it.
Yeah, same.
It's old, but it's not. It's, I don't know. And Esme and Carlisle are there. And they're really awkward and stilted because they're trying not to scare Bella. And Esme's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to know you. And it's so clear that she's so excited about Bella. And then Alice and Jasper come down, and then Alice is classic Alice, and is like, oh my god, hi Bella. And Jasper's like, does this little mood thing, and he's also weird and separate, but it doesn't matter because he has a mood thing. And then Bella has a weird moment where she thinks about pianos and her mom, and then Esme's like, oh my god, do you play the piano? And Bella's like, not really. And she's like, well, Edward does. And Bella's, what? Edward plays the piano? And then there's this whole little moment about how she's like, Edward can do anything. And everyone's like, LOL, shut the fuck up. And then they're like, okay, go play something for Bella. And so they sit down at the piano and he begins playing this orchestral piece. I don't know. And it's amazing. Orchestral. Whatever. And everyone is left. But then he also starts playing the lullaby that was inspired by Bella. And it was super cute. And this is also where she cries and he tastes her tear.
Oh, yeah.
And essentially, we get more background on the fact that Rosalie is jealous of Bella because she's human. And Emmett doesn't really have anything against Bella. He's just, you know, supporting his wife. And Esme is just really happy that Edward has apparently found someone, because before she thought that he was missing some essential makeup by not having a partner. And then they go upstairs and we got some history of Carlisle that I think is just so boring. And we find out that he's like 300 something years old and that he got turned into a vampire after trying to kill another vampire. And then they go into Carlisle's office to get more history about Carlisle.
You did great.
You did great.
I'm gonna give you an 8.9.
Wow, thanks.
Very high. The only thing that I think that you missed was that Edward is like, well, aren't you going to introduce me to Charlie as your boyfriend? And Bella's like,
oh, yeah.
No. Are we? And Edward's right, like, yes, but then won't he think that it's weird that I'm around here all the time? And Bella's like, you want to be around here all the time? But she doesn't want to tell Charlie. And there's like that whole back and forth. But I think so you did a great job. It was very entertaining and otherwise extremely thorough.
Wow, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'll give you a 7.95.
Ooh, very different.
All right, all right.
That different.
You both got the 0.9.
Yeah, there. You're right. 7.9 is basically 8. Yeah, you're right. It's one apart.
Anyways, I feel like when they wake up, well, when she wakes up in her room, this is, like, less creepy vibes of Edward staying over, because he's, like, chilling in the rocking chair. Except the fact
that he's just, like, hanging in a rocking chair. I think
that's creepy. Yeah, but he's, like... I found it less creepy.
Like, he's just rocking back and forth and watching her.
He's just, like, hanging out. And he, like, went home to change to, like, keep up appearances.
I just imagined him sitting in the corner just rocking back and forth, just watching her.
Well, it's also maybe just that's less weird. Creepy because she knows.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
Would it be more or less weird if he was still in the bed? Like a human would be.
No, maybe I think that's less weird because he was in the bed. So why wouldn't he be in the bed?
But also, she's probably like in a twin bed, so.
Well, the thing about being in a chair is that it really is like, I am observing you.
You're right.
Whereas being in a bed is like, you can be laying however, you know.
I'm with you, you know, in the bed.
Yeah.
I guess I've been convinced. But Bella is like, I was noting that she feels like a new person. Like, she doesn't feel like herself here, but crushes. It's in a good way. It's not, like, in a scary way. Mm-hmm. It's in a, like, weirdly appealing way.
Oh, yeah. That's crushes for you, baby.
That's requited love, baby.
Requited love, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, Bella feels, like, a little less inhibited than she used to. She's feeling very playful.
She makes that joke about breakfast.
Which I still think is a stupid joke.
Which is a stupid joke, but, like...
It is kind of funny.
She doesn't joke generally.
She does. She makes quips.
She makes quips.
She generally makes
normally
quips.
She's sarcastic.
Right, but this is like a joke.
Like, yeah, when Bella's she goes to get her cereal and she says, "Watch me hunt."
Well, this is a stupid joke.
But it's true. This is even more of a bit. She like pretends that he means that she is breakfast.
And, right. Like, the grabs her neck. He's like, ah! He's like, "That's not funny."
I don't want to eat you like that.
Except he does.
Yeah, but it's like he does. Like, he doesn't want to have her as breakfast.
Yeah, he wants to have her.
He wants to taste her blood. Anyway, whatever. That's getting in the weeds.
Anyway, she says, "I love you" in her sleep, and I cannot believe that gets to be the first time that she says it.
And Edward says that she says it, and then she's like, "You already knew that." So she's not even really. She's still not saying it.
They sort of treat it like it is the first time, and then she does say it. And instead of saying it back, he says, "You are my life now."
Which is so much
better.
The way I
had that line memorized, though.
But also, it's so intense.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, their love is intense.
I know that she's in it and it's fine, but I just, like, truly put myself in... Okay, as a teenager, I never experienced the, like, "Oh, I'm a teenager and I love you forever." Like, I did not experience that.
But
and I know that people
that
do.
I know that people do.
So, like, I know that she's in it and she's not freaked out by this, but I just imagined myself in her shoes and I know that that would terrify me.
I'd be like, "Oh,
actually,
no,
though.
No.
But also,
like, well,
you are
that's,
in
that's
human
like a lot of pressure,
shoes.
Though. That's
and
a lot
you would
of pressure.
Be dating a human. And it's just like a different situation. Because he's been waiting all this time.
Yeah, that's more pressure.
Yeah, she but it's says, like, he wants her, so I'd be like, well, I guess I like, meet the bar.
And then, also in this chapter, this is a little bit later, but this is when he's like, "Well, if I'm gonna be around all the time," and she's like, "Are you gonna be around all the time?" And he says, "As long as you want me," and she says, "I'll always want you, forever."
Forever.
And I was really understanding how different forever is to each of them.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too. Should
and
we just
right now
ahead
she
that
also
point?
Has no concept of the being becoming a vampire. So for her, she also just truly thinks forever is.
I feel like she still means it in the human way.
Yeah, she still means it in a human way.
Yeah, and he's like,
I feel like it's not necessarily even like in the human way. It's just like she's not even thinking about lifespans. She's just like, as long as I am me, and I have the capacity to think, I will want you.
Which I feel like that's the human way. It's like, you know, yeah. You mean it in a, like, you don't mean till I die, because if you meant till I die, you would say till I die. You say forever, and it means something conceptually, but it doesn't mean literally we're going to be alive and still loving each other.
I don't see it like that. We got to remember that this is Stephenie Meyer, and Stephenie Meyer is like, there is a life after death, like... You know, I feel like even though we don't get, like, a religious affiliation for Bella, I take this to mean, like, my soul will always want your soul. Like, even if I were dead in the beyond, I would
I agree with you. And I think that that's still different from Edward being like, yeah, okay, but, like, I know people who are 1,500 years old. So
it definitely is different.
Do you actually mean that you want to turn into a vampire and love me 50,000 years from now?
Let's read it really quickly. As long as you want me, he assured me. I'll always want you, I warned him, forever. He walked slowly around the table, and pausing a few feet away, he reached out to touch his fingertips to my cheek. His expression was unfathomable. Does that make you sad? I asked. So, like, yeah, he is carrying, like, the weight of... He's like, I'm, like, 5 times your age.
Right.
Like... Yeah.
Like, I carry the weight of the world.
Yeah.
Well, he carries the weight of Bella's soul, because he doesn't want her to be a vampire.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of Frieren?
No.
Okay. There's this manga that was adapted into an anime. It's called Frieren, Beyond Journey's End. And it's about this elf who, she's a magic user, she's a mage, and she and a group of her pals save the world. They defeat the Demon King, you know? It's like, great, the world is saved, we did it. But elves live really long lives, you know? And everybody else in the party, one of them is a dwarf who is also a long-lived race, but, like, everybody else is human. And so... she's like, oh, they're gonna die, like, so fast. And to Frieren, she's kind of like, yeah, this is why you don't become friends with humans. Like, they die so fast, it's kind of like, what's the point?
It's like having a
dog. And then when one of them does die, and this is all the first book, first episode, by the way. Like, all of this is premise. When one of them does die, she's really shocked at how upset she is. She's like, why do I care so much? Like, I barely knew them. We only hung out for 10 years. That's nothing.
That's nothing.
And she decides that on her travels, she's going to try to actually get to know humans because she's this really long-lived race. And it is so good. Yeah. So good. It's incredible. The manga, there is a chapter where I started screaming while reading because it was so good. And it did something that I don't want to spoil for you, but I was like, it didn't even occur to me that, like, this art medium could do this or achieve this. Like, it was.
Do you have them? Crazy. Can I borrow them?
I read them. There's this app called Viz. They're, like, a publisher, and you can get a subscription. It's, like, $3 a month, and you can, like, definitely read it all in a month. So I would do that because I don't have them, and that's what I did. They're so good. But anyway, listeners, if you are interested in another story about, you know, like, a long-lived character reckoning with time passing, I really highly recommend Frieren. It's amazing.
Wow. Cool.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going to check that out.
But I wrote low-key Frieren vibes because he does have a perspective that nobody else can really understand except his family.
Except for the part where he's like, and once you die, I too will die.
Yeah. He doesn't say that in this chapter, but he's already thinking
He's already thinking it for...
Yeah, he's
But in the meantime, he's like, so I'm your boyfriend. Now. And I'm going to meet your father. And she's like, ugh.
Yeah, she's basically like, that's yucky.
And I mean, to be fair, right? They have gone real hard, real fast. And she's like, yeah, I'm your boyfriend. And she's like, I kind of thought you were more than that.
Which, yeah, like, it is like on the next page. They're like, on the next page is, no, he's already said, you are my life now.
Yeah, he's already said that.
He's already said you are my life now. Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's more, but, like, what else are you going to call him?
I know. I was like, yeah. And I was like, what up? I did write that. I was. She was like, I thought you were more. And I wrote, what?
What are you going to tell Charlie? Yeah, you're going to say that he's your soulmate?
Yeah, that's my soulmate, Edward.
This is your lover?
Yeah.
Dad, this is my lover.
Imagine being 17. Like, I'd like to introduce you to my partner.
Who I met 2 weeks ago. I was thinking when you called Rose Emmett's wife or whatever, other way around, I was thinking about whether it's hard for them to switch back and forth because sometimes they live as married people and sometimes they are in a high school.
True.
And like they don't really mix with the humans, so maybe this is not a problem, but like does he ever like slip and call her his wife and then have to be like
life, I guess they haven't married yet.
Presumably not because they're like seniors in high school.
Well, yeah, because they're perfect and they would never mess up anything.
Oh right. Yeah. You're
yeah, and just because like the whole thing is keeping the secret.
That's
and
true.
Also, they would just never.
But that feels like it might end up in your brain as separate from the secret. You know,
Like that's my
like
husband.
You're with. It's not like they have to pretend not to be together.
Yeah,
even though they definitely should.
Even though they should.
Yeah. Oh my God. They could like role play meeting and falling in love every time they start high school.
Oh my God, that'd be so cute.
That'd be hilarious.
Except one of them would have to like live alone and be an orphan. It would be weird. Or it's like, wait, you're falling in love with your foster sibling? Like,
okay, here's what they do. They Brady Bunch it. Okay, so Carlisle is the single father of the boys. Esme is the single mother of the girls, and they
and then they pair.
They have this whole theater. Wow. Esme like has to go to the hospital because she like needs a single stitch or something, and then Carlisle is like, "Did anybody notice that like really pretty patient?" And everyone's like, "Ooh, Carlisle's never like really responded to anyone like this before." Like, oh my gosh. And then they, yeah, they play out this whole romance.
This is
they get married, invite the whole town, and the kids get together.
This is my favorite Cullen headcanon we have ever stumbled into.
Listen, and step siblings is totally fine because Clueless is a thing. So like, listen,
for
we can
the
make
record, step siblings is not totally fine, but it is fine if they get together before their parents get married. You know, if they fall in love.
Okay,
at the
Lynn,
same time
explain
as their
Clueless to me.
Clueless is like not chill. Like it's not good that she ends up with her stepbrother.
You and me have very different opinions of Clueless.
All right, we're getting into some shady territory yet again on this episode.
For the record, I do like Clueless.
You're on, bye. Okay, anyways, so they're like, what are we going to do today? Oh, wait, no. Yeah. Then they're like, what are we going to do today? And he's like, let's go hang out with my family. And she's like, okay.
She's like, also, it feels like so hard, so fast. Like, we just established that I'm not dying and that I love you, and now he's like, let's go meet the fam. Like, all right,
I'd be like, great idea, Edward. Maybe we do that next weekend. Yeah. Do you want to, like, hang out and watch a movie and kiss more?
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what? I appreciate the pacing is moving along, all right? We gotta go meet the Cullens.
We gotta go meet them.
So, she ends up in her only skirt, long, khaki-colored, still casual. I put on the dark blue blouse he'd once complimented. A quick glance in the mirror told me my hair was entirely impossible, so I pulled it back into a ponytail. Okay, I bounced down the stairs. I'm decent. He was waiting at the foot of the stairs closer than I'd thought, and I bounded right into him. He steadied me, holding me a careful distance away for a few seconds before suddenly pulling me closer. Wrong again, he murmured in my ear. You are utterly indecent. No
utterly
one should
indecent.
Look so tempting. It's not fair.
It's awesome.
Which is truly the dream. This is like a girl just wearing her like...
Wearing her clothes.
Kind of nice clothes that she wears to dinner out.
Yeah.
And she shows up, and a man is like,
this is what I wanted to happen.
This is the most irresistible thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Whenever I was on vacation and I wore my somewhat elevated clothes to, like, the dinner buffet, I just imagined some random boy, also my age, being like, oh my god, I've never seen anyone so beautiful. And then he has to come talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, wow, a peasant blouse instead of a t-shirt.
Exactly.
You're so irresistible.
Dazzling, exactly. Stunning, and it was, perfect, incredible, and it was peasant blouses.
Okay, I was thinking while reading this, I was like, I want to try to craft an argument in defense of this.
Of what?
The outfit and him reading it as utterly indecent. Okay, so we've already discussed at length that it is only khaki colored. It is not khaki material.
Okay, what if it were like a
what if it was
like
silk?
A swooshy wraparound skirt?
Even if it's not wraparound, just if it's swooshy, a thin material that clings, perhaps. You know, think kind of gauzy.
I'm sure I would describe that as cool and casual.
Yeah, that's still casual.
It's not cool and casual. It's just long, khaki-colored, and still casual.
Yeah. Think about, like, the hippie girl at the Renaissance fair.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That material, and it's beige.
Imagine it nude, not khaki-colored, which are the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Imagine the blouse also clinging.
Also clinging.
And maybe, like, you know, a scoop neck.
Yeah, it's gotta have
someone
some,
off the shoulder, some the collarbones,
some chest yeah. stuff going
and
on.
And some collarbones. Bella is bounding down the stairs. She is
she's bounding.
Bouncing.
She's bounding. There's bounding happening.
So there's
indecent
some movement. Yeah,
indecent.
She's slutting it up. Okay. I think we've made a compelling argument.
It is compelling. I don't know that I believe it, but it's compelling.
And then Edward is like, so Bella says, tempting how? I can change. And
Edward's like, you delicious.
So absurd. And he kisses her on the forehead. And then we get the disgusting line, the smell of his breath made it impossible thing. Horrible. But then he says, shall I explain how you are tempting me? And he, like drags his fingertips down her spine and, like, leans down to kiss her. And that's when she faints.
Oh my God.
It is, like, I think so much in these books about how down for it Bella is. Like, she is DTF.
Also?
But Edward, like, is also really down for it.
Okay, but
he's initiated kisses. Both kisses.
Yes, but also she cannot handle how much she wants it because she gets two kisses and she faints.
I feel like this kind of feels like, you know how Maya was saying last week that, like, the kissing and touching is, like, described as pleasant, but there's no, like, actual bodily
feeling,
sensations
yeah.
being described. There's no, like, yeah. actual feelings and sensations. Right. And this, to me, is, like, the epitome of her being, like,
bodily.
I need to convey that this is physically overwhelming, but
right.
I can't bring myself to describe any tingling
right.
or internal anything going on.
The most we get is that Bella is dizzy.
And so she
fits.
Literally faints,
so
which is
faint.
Pretty fucking weird.
Yes.
That's
you have
weird.
To hold your breath for a while, I feel like, to pass out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're really making out. I don't know. It is really
it
hard to breathe.
Sound that way.
When you first learn how to kiss, breathing is a really hard part
I mean,
of it.
I do also get the vibe that she's just, she is just very overwhelmed, and maybe her body cannot handle the feelings that it is having.
Yeah, they're not making out. They're not making out.
It's
he tilted
kiss.
His head slowly and touched his cool lips to mine for the second time. It is their
touched.
Second kiss. Very carefully, parting them slightly. And then I
barely
collapsed.
I read this a little differently this time than I've ever read it before. I think because we talked so much about Bella attacking Edward in the last chapter. But before, I was kind of like, oh, she's like so overcome that she forgets to breathe. This time I read it more as, like, she's trying to be still. She's trying to be good.
Oh, maybe.
Okay, maybe,
you know?
Maybe.
Because also earlier in this chapter, she is kind of embarrassed that she throws herself into his lap without thinking.
Yeah.
She's like, I gotta be good. I gotta stay still. So still that she forgets To inhale.
To inhale. Yeah, that's an interesting take. I'll buy that one.
And then he's like, well, so much for being good at everything. She's like, that's the problem. You're too good. Far, far too good.
That's so funny. You feel sick? He asked. I'd be like, yeah, I do. Maybe we should stay here. Maybe we should stay
Take
home.
Take care of me, Edwin.
Yeah.
Nurse me back to health.
Okay, can we talk about the house?
Yeah.
I completely agree with
I know we
Melissa.
Did this the last time, too.
I don't care. We're going to do it again. Okay. That's should I read this too? Does somebody else want to? I just read a whole giant thing. No. Does somebody else want to read it?
No, go ahead.
Godspeed.
Okay, this is... I actually like this part. The gloom of the forest didn't relent, though, for there were six primordial cedars that shaded an entire acre with their vast sweep of branches.
Beautiful description.
Blah, blah, blah. The house was timeless, graceful, and probably 100 years old. It was painted a soft, faded white, 3 stories tall, rectangular, and well-proportioned. The windows and doors were either part of the original structure or a perfect restoration. Okay, that part, like, I can imagine the outside. That's, like, you know, a very, like, colonial vibe, mm-hmm. white siding, a porch, the columns, it's tall, it's rectangular. And then you get inside. It was very bright, very open, and very large. This must have originally been several rooms, but the walls had been removed from most of the first floor to create one wide space. The back, south-facing wall had been entirely replaced with glass, and beyond the shade of the cedars, the lawn stretched bare to the wide river. A massive, curving staircase dominated the west side of the room. The walls, the high-beamed ceiling, the wooden floors, and the thick carpets were all varying shades of white. So it's just a completely different house on the inside.
Yeah.
It is giving, like, padded room, you know, like, white everything.
Too much white.
Too much white.
Too much white.
I feel and like the movies succeeded at representing the inside vibe really well, and the outside of that house looks 0% like the outside of this house has been described.
Which, fair. I don't think you can have the outside looking colonial and the inside looking...
Like, how do you have a wraparound porch and then a wide, bright, open interior? Like, that's... Right. Those, like, are just...
It's just architecturally not possible.
No.
Well, that's because the entire back wall has been replaced with glass. However, why is it so bright when we're entirely shaded by these primordial cedars? Which she's very
I don't understand. Also, I thought that Esme designed this house. Am I
she
wrong?
Did.
I thought she built this house. So then it doesn't make sense that this must have originally been several rooms, but the walls had been removed.
I don't think she necessarily... I think that sometimes she designs houses, but sometimes they, like, buy homes and she does the renovation.
Yeah, maybe she just got renovated the shit out of this place and it truly doesn't look anything. Like
just, it wouldn't be able to be structurally sound.
Yeah, the glass wall, I don't know how you would pull off in a house
and
like this.
While removing all the interior walls.
And remove all the interior load-bearing walls.
Yeah.
I think
she's a magician, okay? She's an architectural magician.
And I don't know, I've been in some really fancy houses, and I was in one where it was really cool. It came to kind of like a triangular point in the front, and it was at the highest point, like 4 stories, and it was glass for the triangular part.
But triangle makes
house,
sense.
I feel like that's a real lake house vibe.
Yeah, like
triangles are able to be. I took geometry.
No, but that's low, you're thinking of a triangle in its upright position. You know, that's when a triangle is strong. But imagine the triangle tilted out. So it's like this.
You've lost me.
Okay.
I still feel like that seems more plausible than this wall of glass on the back of a colonial house. Anyways, that's the house.
That's the house.
We finally get to meet all the Cullens.
Yeah. And she says that it's all white everywhere, but later she describes the banister as, like, honey oak that matches the floors.
Yeah,
and I'm like, so the floors are, they aren't white, which is...
Yeah, she claims the wooden floors are also included in the shades of white, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I don't think Esme's out here painting
hardwood floors. Bella's confused by colors, y'all, okay?
But the really confusing thing about the interior is that there's, like, a special platform very close to the front door that holds the grand piano.
I can imagine this, actually.
I cannot. Just, why, like, one would step they put up. It so close to the front door?
Because I think this is all just one gigantic room. Right? So, like, yeah, you walk inside, it's one gigantic room, and then, like, this is just, like, in a corner that's kind of near the door, there's, like, a 1 foot raised platform for your fancy piano to be displayed on. I have no more words. I have no more descriptive words. Okay, Esme looks like she's from the silent movie era, which was very evocative to me.
Yes.
She already knows Carlisle. Esme's, like, so momish and so happy that she's there.
We love Esme. And then Alice and Jasper show up, and Alice is like, hey, Edward. And she streaks down the stairs and is like, hi, Bella. And she bounds forward and kisses Bella's cheek. And, like, every butthole in the room puckers. Like, how is Bella gonna respond? But Bella likes it. Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm gonna make a friend.
It's like, oh, I'm being treated normal. That's nice.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Except that Alice says that she smells nice, but sometimes you say that to people as a human.
Yeah, I say it to people.
Then here's a word that I've never heard said out loud and only ever read. No one seemed to know quite what to say, and then Jasper was there, tall and leonine.
Leonine. I would go with leonine.
I think it's leonine. My instinct is leonine, but that's based off.
I don't actually know.
Leonine.
It's definitely not leonine.
Gonna put in a vote for leonine. But I looked it up today. It means like having the resemblance of a lion.
Like a lion. A lion-like.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a little weird. I've never thought of Jasper as like
as being lion-like.
Lion-y before. I wonder if he's ever tasted lion.
Ooh, I don't know. Maybe.
Not mountain lion. I'm sure they've all
traveled and tried all the things.
Maybe. Mm.
Yeah, probably.
It's their vacation. Big game hunting.
Yeah. And then Esme says, we're so glad you came. She spoke with feeling, and I realized that she thought I was brave. I was like, oh, that's sweet. I like that.
Emmett and Rosalie aren't around because Rosalie is too jealous of Bella, and she's like, what? And he's like, well, you're a human, and she can't be human, so
she's very jealous of you. Which I do think is a compelling thing to think about, because, you know, all we've got is how amazing vampires are so far. How beautiful they are, how fast they are, how perfect they are.
Their breath is awesome. Yeah.
And here we got the prettiest one being like, I don't want any of this shit.
Yeah.
I did feel like this really effectively kind of showed the limit of Bella's current thinking. She says, Rosalie is jealous of me. I tried to imagine a universe in which someone as breathtaking as Rosalie would have any possible reason to feel jealous of someone like me. Like, that's so shallow. And
that is very shallow. That is really shallow.
That's how she is this whole book, though.
Yeah, she's like, Rosalie's beautiful, she can't have problems.
What else could she want?
Nothing.
I do wish that, I feel like this kind of flattens Rosalie's character, that like she's so upset that she can't like
she can't
say
just,
hello
like, be there
her. Yeah. But like, okay, fine.
I kind of get it though. I feel like, I don't know that I think that it necessarily flattens her. I feel like she is feeling a depth of pain that is being presented to us as jealousy.
Sure.
But really that's does true. Kind of transcend that, you know? Like, she's, like, grieving her own life actively.
Yeah.
Sure. Wow, I really wish that we had gotten a multi-layered More. Rosalie.
Rose. Me too.
Would be nice.
That would have been so good.
That would have been so great.
But anyways, Edward shows off on the piano, and Esme's like, well, okay, so Bella's like, well, he's good at everything.
He's good at everything.
And then his siblings are like, wow, jokes. And Esme's like, you shouldn't show off. That's very rude.
That's very, very rude.
But also, you should play
but
piano.
But also show off.
And he's like, I thought I wasn't supposed to show off.
She's like, there are exceptions to every rule. She's like, such a mom thing. Such a mom. Like, don't show off, But unless do go I play tell piano. You.
Yeah. Yeah. Go put on a little concert. I say it's okay.
Show everyone and then they your get back little band.
Private moment, and he plays her lullaby. Super it's cute.
And the tear gets eaten.
And the it's tear weird. Gets eaten. I don't think it's as gross as Maya does. It got a lot grosser for me in Midnight Sun. Like, if it was just like, in Twilight, it's just this little passing moment. Like, the fact that neither of them comments on it is kind of weird.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just this, like, passing moment. But in Midnight Sun, we have to go through the whole thing about the how it'll always be within him unless he hacks it up on purpose. And, like, it's just this, like, weird
I blocked that from my memory.
Pearl being created inside his weird porous venom body. And... I didn't need that. Any of that. I it got that. Way weirder in Midnight Sun. Wow.
That's fun.
And then, like Melissa said, Esme says this thing. Well, no, Esme doesn't say it. Edward is like, she's really happy that I'm happy and in love with someone because all this time she's been worried about me, afraid that there was something missing from my essential makeup.
Boo! Which is,
Boo yeah, hiss. Very much erasure of
Boo.
Aromantic and asexual people. You don't have to have another romantic person in order to be a whole human.
Or have vampire. Those feelings. You're,
so, it doesn't mean something's just, wrong with you.
Yeah. You are complete in yourself.
Going on the record saying all that stuff.
Yeah. You are complete in yourself as we all are. You know,
yeah. Even whether if or you, not you have a romantic partner.
Yeah, even if you want a romantic partner but don't have one, you are still complete mm-hmm. in yourself. Still complete? Mm-hmm. And if you mm-hmm. don't want one and don't have one, you are complete in yourself. And if you don't want one and do have one, you should break up.
Okay, and then we get the really boring Carlisle stuff, which I always skipped whenever I reread this book.
I feel like we get a decent amount of it here. I'm like, okay, I like learned some things about how vampires are formed. And then he's like, oh, you liked that? Let's go talk to my father. And I'm like, wait, I have to do another chapter of this? Like, I was good. I was set.
I was real set.
That was all I needed.
Yeah, truly. Truly.
Yeah, she looks at this cross on the wall and learns that it's like 370 years old and is like, how old is Carlisle? And Edward's like, he's like roughly 362. And Bella sits with the enormity of this, blah, blah, blah. But to be honest, I was kind of like, could be older.
Could be older.
It's really not that old.
It's not that old.
Yeah, or you can live forever.
Truly.
Yeah, give us some, like, even her old vampires in Breaking Dawn, the, like, really flaky, crusty ones, yeah. They're only, like, 1,500 years old.
Like,
guess which, how, like, for how an animal old... with no natural predators, like, they all Olivia, kill I'm each sure other.
You are the one who knows this. How old is, like, life on Earth?
Ugh. I'm gonna guess, and I'm gonna be wrong, Maya's gonna Google it, 10,000... No, older than that. But I feel like civilizations are like 10,000 years old.
Well, define life. Like single-celled agricultural organisms?
Civilization. I'm thinking like like human, homo sapiens civilizations. Okay, fine, yes.
Humans.
10,000?
Oh, much older 20,000,
40,000?
The earliest known fossils date from 3.5 billion years ago. So that's like...
That's not humans.
I know, I know. Humans. But I was just already searching that. So I'm just conceptualizing. How old were the oldest humans? No, I'll say, when did the oldest humans live? Why is this search confusing? no, but humans have been around millions of years.
Maybe in...
Okay, yeah, that was not a good search, because that told me about a man who lived to be 122. Okay. How old are humans?
I mean, I can only assume that as even, like, our earliest... forms of like primatism, there were probably vampire ones.
Okay, so our ancestors have been around about 6 million years. Modern humans evolved about 200 to 300,000 years ago.
Yeah, Yeah, and our oldest vampire is 1500.
So, like, there were, like, hominids, like, millions of years ago.
He's a fucking baby.
Yeah, like, why can't he be... Okay, having Carlisle be 2000 is, like, probably too much. Like, why would he wait so long? But then why would he wait so long to, like...
so long to form a family in the last 50 years or whatever it is?
Yeah, and then he does a bunch of things.
Okay, but there is no reason for his whole family to be within 100 years of each other. Like, Esme could also be...
2,000 years old.
1,700 years old.
They could. But if Stephanie wanted to keep it like this, I get that Carlisle, it wouldn't make sense for him to be over 1,000. But 362, sure. I really feel like you just don't get that sense of like, whoa, so long until you pass 500 at least.
At least. And I think I also think it's super weird that he like waits over 200 years and then suddenly creates his entire family. Like,
yeah, it's very weird.
That doesn't make sense either. Why was he alone for most of it and then all of a sudden now there's like seven of them?
Because definitely yeah, what if, about this, y'all.
What if he had spent time with other vampires? Like, I know that he like hangs out with the Volturi, whatever, but what if he was actually in another coven?
Had another life. Yeah,
outside of the Volturi.
That's true.
I mean, that's compelling, but I don't want to learn about it here.
That's true.
No, it's too much. Yeah, what we do learn is, you know, that his father was religious and was trying to hunt vampires, but was actually really bad at it, and Carlisle was more reasonable and actually did find some real vampires and was trying to kill them in, you know, old school London, and instead got bitten by a vampire. Then apparently... buried himself in potatoes and managed not to scream, which makes no sense.
I mean, Bella didn't.
She doesn't scream either?
No.
Bella's silent the whole time because she doesn't want them to know how bad it hurts.
Edward to worry. Yeah. Oh my god.
She wants them to think the morphine works.
She's perfect because
she's perfect. She's a perfect martyr.
Exactly.
Just like Carlisle.
Carlisle is anything. He's a martyr.
For sure. The way he turns is weird too. Because this is describing the vampire who turns him. He must have been ancient and weak with hunger. I know that it is established that this is a time period where people believe in vampires and are actively hunting them. However, if I'm a vampire and I'm down eating people, I'm never going to be weak with hunger. Like, I can climb out of the sewers whenever I want and go eat somebody.
It's also a time, like, without cameras or fingerprinting. Mm-hmm. You know, like, surely it was easier to get away with murder.
Sure. Jack the Ripper did it a bunch of times.
There were no social security numbers, you know?
Yeah.
Great points.
And you're just too fast.
Too fast. Too fast, too furious.
He has to, like, make up a reason for Carlisle. Stephanie has to make up a reason for Carlisle to get bitten because...
And then left behind.
Right. And not killed. Yeah. The only thing we miss, I feel like, is that there's a plot point dropped in this chapter also.
Oh, right. Yeah, we got one.
Very easy to skim by because it's so insignificant. But he's like, Alice saw that we're gonna have some visitors coming, so I might be overbearingly protective and tyrannical, so just don't mind that.
I was gonna say, he says to her, I'm not gonna let you out of my sight until they're gone, just because like they're probably not even gonna come into town, but they aren't like us, like they're people eaters. And it is funny because up to this point, Edward, like, already basically never lets Bella out of his sight. Oh, she just didn't know it. Like, it's not really any different.
It's really not.
And I think, I get, you know, Stephanie explains the whole, like, Alice doesn't see the whole end of this book coming because of the baseball decision-making, them coming to see them really suddenly, which is stupid. But anyways, it made me think about whether Alice has seen Bella coming from like a million miles away.
Bella says that in this chapter. She says, so like, did Alice see me coming? And he says, well, something like that. Meaning she saw you as a vampire, but Alice didn't see Bella like arriving ages and ages ago.
But, like, why not? Like, if Alice woke up as a vampire and was like, I am one day going to become part of this family, why wouldn't she just always have known? And one day, probably, Edward is going to fall in love with this human and she's going to join us also. Why wouldn't she just know that?
That's a great question. It doesn't make sense.
It's a great question, and I would probably want to dive into it, except for the fact that I want us to wrap this up.
We are over time. So, best sentence.
I honestly don't know that I have a best sentence.
Okay, you know what? My best sentence is the one that I already read. She spoke with feeling, and I realized that she thought I was brave. Mm-hmm. I think it's very simple and very strong.
Yeah.
What page is that?
That is on page 324 in the middle.
Okay, I might pick... It's Esme saying, it's very nice to know you. Which is basically the same thing. It's like, just changing meet to know, I feel like actually conveys a lot about how sincerely Esme needs it, means it.
I'm with Olivia on this one.
Why don't you like it?
I did not like it.
Why?
So nice to know you. I don't know. It was like, I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
That's fair. I'll give it to you. I found my worst. He pulled the end of my ponytail and chuckled. Why do we have to continue treating Bella like a child at all times? Maybe that's just me. Maybe I hate getting my ponytail pulled. I don't know.
Oh, okay. My favorite is actually a part that I have skipped over maybe every single time I've read this book, which is Bella talking about her mom and the piano.
I feel like I clocked it a lot more than I usually do, too, actually.
Yeah. And just, like, we get a tidbit about Bella's mom, which we get very, very few of them. And this is a weird moment to plop a mom detail. But essentially, her mom plays piano. And Bella says she loves to watch her play. She says, she was happy, absorbed. She seemed like a new, mysterious being to me then. Someone outside the mom persona I took for granted. And I was like, aww. And I feel like she means, like, outside of, like, the I'm also a mom to this person. Like, I don't know. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it is.
I agree.
That part is funny to me because Bella's, like, lost in this daydream about her mom. Like, she isn't trying to keep the conversation going. She just stares at this piano so long that Esme comments, like, oh, do you play like, piano? Do you play?
My worst sentence is the essential makeup one that Olivia read.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's going to be my worst, too. It is the worst.
All right, fam. Also, it's not even that she thinks that. It's that Edward knows that she thinks that. Like,
yeah,
if you're
that's true.
Projecting enough that your son is like, yeah, she thought something was just missing. I'm like, he's gonna internalize that shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really projecting when he's a mind reader.
I guess, but...
Okay, good point.
But... I don't like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Great job.
Email us with questions and comments at twilightphasepodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us, like, subscribe, rate, review, you can follow along for updates or support us at patreon.com/twilightphasepodcast. Thank you to our patrons, Melina, Karen, Ed, Laurel, Andrea, Lemmy, Chance, King's Gambit, Melissa, Rachel, Sabine, Hannah, Parker, Marissa, Emily, and Bridget. You can follow us at twilight_phase on Twitter and Insta. Disclaimer, we own nothing. The Twilight universe and all characters belong only to Stephanie Meyer. Please don't sue us.
Don't do it.
Audio editing by Melissa Shermer. Cover image by Laura Shermer. Our theme music is written and performed by Adrian Mooring.
We'll be back next week. And if you don't like it, you can bite me.
Get out of here.
Bye.